You're listening to the Power of Others podcast, season 2020, episode 17, Overcoming the Shock of Global Disruption. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm glad that you clicked play. Man alive, are you doing okay? I hope so. As I hit the record button, it is April the 22nd, 2020, Wednesday. Coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, inside the Yellow Studio, where, like you, we are all sequestered, staying safe at home. Here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we began to be safe at home about 5 weeks ago. You know, many Americans didn't think that March would ever end. Yeah, I was among those. How about you? Just today, the Dallas County City Council, they voted to keep the stay-at-home order in place. Well, actually, this was yesterday, until May the 15th. And it looks like the Fort Worth side of things over in Tarrant County, they are likely to follow suit. The global coronavirus pandemic has stunned all of us, providing this surreal daily existence that none of us could have ever imagined. Shock, stunned disbelief, panic, dread, fear. On and on it goes, right? We've all experienced it. Daily, we hear those and many other words used to describe how people are feeling about the current state of things. Business owners are just as prone as anybody else. Well, maybe more so to feel these things. And those of us who serve business owners, we've been busy doing whatever we can to help owners face the challenge. And along the way, we have listened to heart-wrenching stories of business owners who they risk losing everything, including the companies that just 6 weeks ago were soaring quite high. Let's focus on the opportunities. Let's focus on the positives. Let's focus on the high potential moving forward, because it is oh so easy to dwell on what is wrong. I mean, much of it is very obvious. You don't need me to point out what's wrong, which is why the throngs are likely going to spend their time right there. The throngs of people, the mass herd of people, are going to spend their time dwelling on what is wrong and wanting the cavalry, whether that's the U.S. government or anybody else, to come and fix it for them. And there's no doubt that we need some help, and we're getting some help. But it's also why we have this extraordinary opportunity, this unprecedented opportunity in our lifetime to make something special happen. I agree with Mark Cuban, and it's not because he's here in Dallas-Fort Worth as well, but he's a pretty smart guy. He said in a recent podcast interview, he did a Zoom chat with some people. I'll embed the link. Go over to growgreat.com. And just find season 2020, episode 17. And I'll embed a link to this. It's a podcast. It was an interview. It was a Zoom chat is what it was, with a lot of people. And the podcast is named Your First Million. The host is Arlen Hamilton. I have no knowledge of her prior to this. Had no knowledge of her podcast, but I'm going to embed it. You can click play. You can listen to it. You know, Cuban has always been a fan of sweat equity, and he's been a fan of foregoing debt as much as possible. Sound advice for existing businesses as well as startups. But if you are operating a small business and you are able to leverage the SBA packages that are now being offered by the U.S. government, which could be morphed, if you do it correctly, it could be morphed into a grant, a forgivable grant instead of a loan. Well, then my lens, use the money. according to the rules. And by all means, jump all over that if you have not yet done it, if you are a business with fewer than 500 employees. Part of the reason that Cuban is such a fan of avoiding taking on investment is our ability to develop our own vision for the future. You know, business owners mostly love control, and we hate having to answer to other people, which is why we carve out the path that, well, that's why we do our own thing. And debt makes us beholden, and we hate that, don't we? Of course we do. Cuban's a contrarian. He's really a contrarian against the two prevailing business thoughts of the moment during this pandemic. One is that whole double down and work super hard, work harder than ever. Just devote all of your time to work, because what else is there? And while other people are kind of sitting back trying to figure it out, and other people are sitting at home and they're taking care of their, don't do any of that, right? Just lean all into your business. The second is kind of the opposite of that. And that's take this time, rest and regroup. Because the whole planet has been disrupted, so you're not alone. Cuban has a third alternative that I'm rather fond of, and that is take small steps. Get and keep your priorities where they most likely belong, on your family's welfare, but take small steps forward at the same time to advance and to move your business forward. You know, it's the saying that we've all heard, inch by inch, anything is a cinch. So, yeah, get busy gaining an inch here and an inch there. I think it's, come on, he's a smart guy. I don't claim to be as smart as him, so we might as well listen, right? 6 weeks ago, people weren't likely taking things all that seriously. I know I was not. We were beginning to hear about this, but I was probably like you and many other people. Well, the flu kills 50,000 people a year. Is this so different? Yes. Yes, this is very different, Virginia. 5 weeks ago, things began to change suddenly. I mean, all of a sudden, the NBA shut down. I don't follow the NBA enough to care, but I'm aware of it. And then March Madness completely canceled. And I don't pay attention to basketball, but I do pay attention to March. I rather love March Madness. Okay, that gets canceled. Now you got my attention. That got all of our attention. And then all the other professional sports leagues, they followed suit. And many of us were in areas of the country where our local governments, especially here in a major metro area, they ordered us to stay at home, and suddenly businesses were shut down. Or they shut themselves down before the government did. I'm talking to you, Apple stores. Yeah, the Apple stores. They shut down before the government said, yeah, close up. And then there was this mad dash for paper towels and toilet paper and hand sanitizer. I mean, suddenly, within less than a week, our local grocery stores looked like they had missed a week or 2 weeks worth of deliveries of inventory. Shelves were bare, everything from meat to eggs to paper products, gone. Nowhere. I mean, nowhere to be found. And it became very real very quickly. And it was complete shock and awe for all of us. And then the furloughs and the terminations began. And the unemployment just kept breaking records. And many of us were likely impacted because business owners whose doors were shut, okay, can't make payroll, can't pay these people for work that isn't being done, and we got no business anyway, and the lease payments, well, they're coming due. There's no revenue coming in, or very little revenue. And now, well, okay, can we hit the panic button now? Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's all put our hands in the middle of the circle in that big red panic. Let's hit that button. And we did. We did. And for some, the panic is still in full swing. I get it. I completely get it. For others, we figured, we best get busy trying to figure something out. universal vulnerability to the rescue. That's right. Universal vulnerability to the rescue. A funny thing happened on the way to isolating ourselves at home. We weren't able to single ourselves out from the herd. The entire herd of humanity was experiencing this exact same thing. And for the first time in our lives, everybody was in the same boat. From famous Hollywood actors to pop stars to billionaire business people, we were all huddling with our immediate families inside our homes. I mean, never mind that some had nicer digs, maybe, in which to isolate themselves. For the first time in our history of being alive, we had one big thing in common. My father is alive and doing well, thank you very much, and he is 96. He's never seen anything like this. Well, where does that put the rest of us? We haven't seen anything like this either. And our common challenges gave us a gift. That's right, it gave us a gift. Vulnerability. The vulnerability of being human. Mark Cuban said on Fox Business Network just this morning, on Wednesday, April the 22nd, 2020, it's going to be brutal. There's no way to sugarcoat it at all. When we get to the other side, companies are going to be operating differently. Cuban predicts 2 to 3 years. It's going to take us 2 to 3 years to get back to what most of us consider normal. Wait a minute. Didn't you say that we weren't going to dwell on the bad? Yes, I did. I did. And I'm sticking with that. What Mark said is not negative as much as what many of us believe is just the truth. Now, here's the fact. None of us know, including Mark Cuban. None of us know for sure. He's right about one thing, based on information that I know firsthand from various CEOs and owners. Companies with more than 500 employees, they are hit as hard, if not harder, than smaller outfits. The companies with revenues in the hundreds of millions of dollars and more than 500 employees, they need more. They need more capital. They need more revenue. They need more profits because, well, size matters. Big animals need to eat more than small animals. And companies in the wild are no different. Now, whether you believe in what Mark Cuban says or not, that's not the point. You absolutely believe in the uncertainty. And in that uncertainty is the high value of vulnerability, universal vulnerability. Just yesterday, in another podcast that I do with a partner of mine, Leo Batari, we spoke with a Vistage chair in Boston, Phil Hoberton. And you can watch or listen to that conversation. I'll put links in the show note. That podcast is called What Anyone Can Do. It's titled after a book that Leo wrote of that same title. And Phil operates some CEO groups, in-person CEO groups up in the Boston area for Vistage. It's an interesting conversation. You might find it beneficial. It's about half an hour long. Well, Phil commented in our conversation on what I've heard from a number of people who are involved in mastermind or peer groups. People are coming closer together now more than ever. Some who've even been in such groups for the first time. Yeah, I mean, you're thinking, really? I mean, you've been in a group and you're just kind of going through the motions, not really showing up, not being prepared, and certainly not being willing to open up so much or have other people open up to you so much. It only took a global pandemic to make that happen. Hey, but it did happen. So that's a good thing. Well, not the pandemic. That's not a good thing. But our universal realization that we can use some help and maybe somebody else can use our help. That's a good thing. Folks, that is a terrific thing. You know, maybe you've seen, I'm going to put a link to this too, because if you haven't seen this, you absolutely, this is must watch web content. It's a heart wrenching story about Ken Bernbow, or Bembo, B-E-M-B-O-W. I don't know. He's a British veteran, but it's such a remarkable little story. He's been sleeping with a photograph of his late wife, Ada, following her death. She died about 9 months ago. And one of his caregivers made him a pillow with his wife's photograph on it so he could sleep with that pillow instead of this photograph, this framed photo. The video, if you don't cry when you watch this video, then you have a heart of stone. Because I'm going to tell you, I wept when I saw it. I've been married 40 some odd years to the same woman, and maybe I could, I don't know. Thankfully she's here and I'm here, and so far so good. But you know, I my heart went out to this poor man who'd lost his lifelong spouse. It speaks to our collective humanity during this moment of our collective vulnerability. Scroll through Instagram. Do you have an Instagram account? Well, go create one just so that you can follow some folks and see. Scroll through Instagram and you won't find the normal stuff, quote unquote, the normal stuff there. Go back 6 weeks ago. Go back 6 weeks ago and look through your Instagram stuff. Same old crap. Fancy cars, fancy locations, just plain fancy. Fancy, fancy, fancy. People showing off, people fronting, people faking it. Little to no vulnerability. Just mostly a whole bunch of fraudulent posing aimed at making other people envious or jealous. Now, folks, this is where we were 6 weeks ago. Gone. Done. Over. Yeah, for the time. I hope for a long, long time myself. Now, kindness, compassion, service, a caregiver making a pillow with a man's deceased wife emblazoned on it, bringing him to tears. Kindness, compassion, service, they have bubbled to the surface where they always belonged, and they should stay there. I mean, they should stay there from now on. Now, business owners, once cocky and sure, many are surrendering themselves to peers, admitting, you know, I don't have a clue. I have no clue what I need to do next. And the fear is not knowing what to do that has finally been trumped. Well, our fear was we want to look smart. We just want to look smart. But now our fear is we just don't know what to do. And that has trumped our fear of not looking smart. About time. About time. Now, I hate it. I absolutely hate that it took a global pandemic for us to get there. But here is where we are. And listen, I'm like you. And I would hope that we can look at this time and we can seize the moment. That we can make full use of this disaster. Can we refuse to go back and start hiding again behind our false bravado, behind our arrogance, and behind I'm the CEO and I'm so smart? Can we wise up? Can we wise up? As many of us, most of us have, and can we stay here? Can we keep this wisdom moving forward? Can we step on the accelerator and can we get moving faster than ever in leveraging our humanity? Because there are bound to be better answers found together than those answers that we find by ourselves. Shortly after things grew very grim and it was clear that, okay, we grossly underestimated this thing. I know I did. I made a decision pretty quickly with my own professional services. For starters, I slashed my rate. Now, I've never been a by-the-hour guy. I have never, ever in my life charged by the hour. But I did go to a $50 an hour Zoom video conferencing rate and put a PayPal link over at my web just to try to help as many people as possible. Next, I decided to launch the Peer Advantage by Bula Network that you've heard me talk about. I decided I'm gonna launch this thing free of charge. During this particular time and this crisis, forget the money. I just want to get some business owners together in a virtual room and try to help because, well, they both seemed like good ideas at the time, and neither of them clearly was aimed at any sort of money grab, and both of them backfired magnificently. Colossal failure, I must tell you. The global disruption was so pervasive. The fear was so widespread. The panic was so real. Nobody, and I mean nobody, including me, was ready to do anything for what seemed forever. We collectively stood around like deer in headlights, clueless about what are we going to do? The lesson was learned, though, and I don't have any regrets. I was like you. I was just trying to figure out what I could do that might, really heavy emphasis on the word might, that might make a difference. Now, my business is likely very different from yours, though. I'm a one-man band, and that's by design. I have no inventory. I have only my wife and me to worry about, and so this affords me the aim of my business design, which is the ability to focus on the work and those who might benefit from my services. Now, I was fortunate in that I could squarely aim at how I might be of greater service to more people. That was the only thing I was thinking. Now, tap the brakes here. I wasn't just being all altruistic and idealistic. I was just being practical. Keep in mind, I am, according to Myers-Briggs, an INFJ, which means counselor. It's my natural wiring. And I was merely leaning more heavily into who I am and what I am. Well, people were too afraid. People were absolutely scared out of their mind. And my empathy compelled me to fully understand that. And I did, and I still do. In those first few days or weeks of wanting to be helpful, I had neglected to understand the scope and the depth of the uncertainty and the fear. I mean, to be fair, I hadn't even come to grips with my own anxiety, with my own worry, with my own fear, much less yours. Here's what I liken it to. It's like news of sudden death or those moments when you get a phone call or you get news and it buckles you. It buckles your knees. You ever had that happen? Yeah, we've had that happen. And we need time to process what is happening to us. And it may take hours, it may take days, it may take months. And we're able to get back on our feet. No, it's not like it was before, but at least our coping skills are fortified after a passage of time, after we've had time to process this. Well, we were all in the midst of processing it. Our knees had been buckled. And so here we are now, about 5 weeks or so into this stay-at-home routine, well, most of us. Even essential businesses have been disrupted, you know, mostly in a bad way, but some in a good way. Walmart and others, they're experiencing quantum leaps in demand for their goods and services. Cuban is likely right when he predicts, along with many others, by the way, that we are going to learn of 30 or more companies, maybe, who are going to make a name for themselves during this ordeal or the outgrowth after it's over. Well, as days rolled into weeks and weeks have morphed into, well, a few months or close to a few months, thankfully the shock, The shock wore off. Hopefully, most of us, I don't know, most of us kind of came to ourselves realizing that, you know, we better get on with figuring something out. We better get on with figuring out what to do next. Enter that vulnerability again. Now, some have confessed for the first time in their professional lives, they have opened up and been willing to ask for help. This is remarkable to me, and it's remarkably great. Many have wondered why they didn't do it before. Well, now that they've experienced such positive results, when they realize, you know, other people, even with a different viewpoint, have got quite a lot to offer me. Now, never mind berating ourselves over past neglect. You know, well, I wish I'd have done. No, forget all that. Who cares? What matters is this is where we are today. And while it's bad, it's not all bad. We need to overcome our shock. We do not need to overcome our newfound vulnerability and our newfound willingness to lean on each other. Those are the way past this global disruption. Your company has employees. You have suppliers. You have partners in the form of banks and real estate people and advertising people, etc. Leverage all of them. Huddle with your employees. Invite them to join you on a Zoom call to simply let them know that you care about them as people and find out how they're doing. Lean into humanity, your own humanity and their humanity. Share with them your challenges. Ask them what they think. Lead productive conversations about what your new normal might look like and allow them to be part of the solution, part of the opportunity. You need it. They need it. Worse yet, your company needs it. You've likely already had some conversations with your landlords. Figure out ways to make it work so everybody can minimize the downside. Try to find ways to maximize the opportunity together. Same with suppliers, same with other partners. Remember, everybody you talk to is going through the same ordeal. You're going to find, maybe for the first time in your life, that you are able, and maybe you've already discovered this. I hope you've already discovered this. I hope you've at least tasted this, that you are able to have the most open, transparent conversations professionally that you have ever had with all of these people. And you know the result? Yeah, you're going to get closer. You'll also likely develop some answers that you would not have otherwise found, and some opportunities along the way. I've heard quite a few stories of employees who have helped owners identify newfound opportunities in this crisis. And I don't mean just making masks and other products that are useful because of this pandemic. I mean companies whose employees have figured out new products and new services to offer and to do that right now. Things that are congruent with their existing business. In recent weeks, I've seen this theme emerge among some innovative leaders and their teams. They are looking past the shock. They are looking past the global disruption to begin to think, what are we really good at that might provide new opportunities for us? What are we really good at as a group of people, as a business, that might give us some new opportunities? Some people are having to put their thinking caps on for the first time ever because they've just been like robots going through the motions. And now, not so much. Is your company great at sales? Are you great at supply chain management, logistics, manufacturing, quality control, service delivery? What? What is your company great at? Most of us operate businesses where we get stuck thinking that, well, we're in the car business or we're in the widget business. Reality is often very different. We're just so deep into our industry that we can't see it. Well, now is the time to venture out beyond the bounds of your limited vision and leverage the power of others to see if there may not be an even bigger opportunity for you. Do not go it alone. Been there, done that. Didn't work out so well. You thought you had it all figured out when times were great. 6 weeks ago, you were probably soaring high and thought, man, sky is the limit, until the sky fell. So don't retract back. No retreat. Don't go back into the same behavior that may have prevented you from future-proofing your company to begin with. Nope, time to saddle up. Time to ride ahead. Go slow, go fast. I don't know, who cares? That's for you to decide. That's for you to figure out for yourself. But do this. Go. And make sure that you are riding alongside people who are willing to help you and people willing to let you help them. All right, I'm going to hawk it. The Peer Advantage by Bula Network. Bula Network is my company. Bula is a Fiji term. It means, well, it's analogous to aloha in Hawaiian. It means both hello and goodbye. It also means life. It carries with it the connotation that life is good. I'm not from Fiji. I've never been to Fiji. When this pandemic is over and I make enough money, I'm going to take my wife to Fiji. Maybe. You can find out all the details at thepeeradvantage.com. This is for small to medium-sized business owners. This is a virtual online peer advisory, peer advantage, mastermind group. I don't care. Call it whatever you want to call it, but it's eight of us coming together. Well, I make nine. And we are leveraging the power of each other to help one another through this and through any other ordeal that comes into play. All the details can be found along with a big apply now button. Just a few questions that will prompt us to be able to have a productive phone call to see if this is right for you. Thepeeradvantage.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com. The podcast, The Power of Others. And you just listened to episode 17 of season 2020. Be well, do good, grow great. My name is Randy Cantrell.